Well, we are thankful to be here. And I do appreciate the saints' prayers. I wasn't here last year because my wife was getting saved over there, and I couldn't be here. I wanted to be at that place where she was getting saved at, and I couldn't be at two places at one time. But we're thankful that to report that she is saved. I remember the last time we were here, we was looking to the Lord to do something for her. And He did. So we are thankful that she is saved this evening. And we expect to see her here pretty soon. The Lord worked that out. She'll probably be coming in. But you pray for us. I'm sitting here and taking note of the services. And then I thought, it really struck me after Brother Salmon began to tell us about Brother Buzzard. And then it started getting a little heavier. I don't know, maybe, what does Monarch Springs mean to you? What does it mean to me? Sometimes people come here to seek husbands, wives, and some come, no doubt, to visit. Well, I get a chance to see everybody I haven't seen in quite a while. Some, no doubt, come because maybe it's the first time me going, and I want to see what it's like. Why did you come? To me, I'm seeing more and more it's a battleground. And I can understand to some degree that people are looking for husbands and wives. But nevertheless, we're in a battle. Some come, no doubt, courting. Walk through the park. Look into the trees. But we're in a battle. And some come to get help. Some folks come because I have a burden that I can't do anything with. I got something I need help with. Some come because I want to be delivered. I need God's help. The title of this lesson this evening is Doing Battle for God. And when I hear the times of... Now it sounds pretty gross, didn't it, to have maggots coming out of your ears. I noticed the sound when he said it. Oh. Now, what was that sound for? The gross part of it? But what about being on the other end of that thing? And it's you that it's happening to. I don't have time now for somebody sightseeing it. I don't have time now for somebody engaged or want to be married, but I need some help. Need a touch from God. Need the Lord to visit with us. But yet, overall, when we come to a place like this, all of these things come with us. And I've been encouraging and trying to help encourage folks. Well, if you're coming looking for a husband, I appreciate the message this morning. You need to know the responsibility of it. Can you see? Somebody said, well, why did he preach a message like that? This is needed. Amen. Because we have folks come here looking for husbands and wives. Now, if you come looking, you might as well know what the responsibility of it is. Take it back home with you. See? Amen. God knows the very things we need when we need it. But yet, we are in a battle. And the battle that we're in, folks, is not a carnal battle. And lots of times we miss it. We'll miss it as a people. If it was a carnal battle, I'd have been to the devil up you and have no problems with you. But it's not like that. Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter. You bear with me just a little bit. Share my heart with you. I believe that you and I should have a soberness in our minds and our hearts while we're here. Now, this don't mean that you can't smile or you can't laugh or you... No, I'm not talking about that. You're not in a straitjacket. But to really know why I'm here, why are we here? Souls have come for help. And when the ministers are preaching, I noticed a pleading. At one time, it didn't have to used to be all that. It didn't used to be that you had to plead as hard as you do today for an individual to know that needs help to get it. We go through the regular routine. We're to stand and we're sing a song, and then we'll go through that once or twice, and somebody exhorts, somebody begs, somebody else exhorts, somebody else begs. And finally, you'll come to reality and say, well, I believe I'll just go and see if I can get some help. Why did we come? Appreciate the quietness. But we're in a battle. And this battle is getting worse and worse. This battle is getting harder to fight and harder to fight. And every soldier that nameth the name of Christ, he's going to have to depart from iniquity. Yeah. We're going to have to depart from anything that's hindering and holding us back to hinder us in this battle. We're going to have to be light-footed, if I can say it. We're going to have to be where you and I can move around and get a hold of God. When prayer time hits, we want to be there. Amen. Somebody read for us, please. 10th chapter, 2 Corinthians, verse 1, beginning.
Now I, Paul, myself
beseech you,
by the meekness and gentleness
of Christ, who am present and based among you,
but being absent and bold
toward you.
I beseech you.
That I may not be bold when I am present.
With that confidence wherewith I think to be bold.
Which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh.
Though we walk in the flesh.
We are in a spiritual battle, and I want that thought to sink in our minds just a little bit. The very thing that we are dealing with is the spirits. We are dealing with spirits, and I'll say this, may God help you and I, we are going to have to be spiritual to deal with it. Amen now. We cannot be on a carnal basis and trying to deal with spirits. We're going to have to become spiritual. You and I can't even be able to discern the spirit unless I get where God can show me what's happening. So that means I'm going to have to get a hold of God and be able to detect where the Spirit, how it's working, and how to deal with it. I'm going to have to get a hold of God to find that out. It's not just enough to see where the Spirit is. I need to know from God how to deal with it after I find out what it's all about. When individuals come down to this altar, they need deliverance. And it's not just enough sometimes just to pray a little prayer. But some of these things are going to need hands laid on. Some of these things are going to need the ministry to deal with. And sometimes folks go home, seem like in worse shape than they came, because they say, well, what's the use? I've been worried with this thing for a long time. Can't seem to get victory over it. But there is victory if you and I would come all the way with Jesus. Amen. Recognizing what we have and dealing with it, and let God bless us. We're in a spiritual battle. I want us to think about it. Many times, you and I, if we're not spiritual enough, the only way we can deal with something is flesh. The only way we can deal with it is flesh if we're not spiritual. See? We're trying to deal with it. Can't deal with it. We're just trying to deal with it. Well, I want to encourage us today, may God help us, that I believe it's going to take us as the camp of the saints, that you and I are going to have to really dig and get closer to the Lord to be able to deal with some of these things that are coming upon us. Yeah. Spirits from all parts. And I believe that just like the Word teaches, I believe the Lord is soon to come. I don't believe we're going to be here another 100 years. If we do, we'll be in a mess. May God help us. But the battle that you and I are in, right in our homes, we are dealing with spirits. Our little children right now, they are right now, I'll tell you, you watch them as they're growing up, the little bitty fellows, they are really smart now, I'll tell you, look like they ever before. Spirit. I say again, it's not enough just to see it's a spirit. But I need to know how to deal with that spirit. So now, I need God more now than ever before. See, when I was a little fella, they told me, say, well, you're going to see a ghost. And I had my mind before I would say, yeah, I'm going to see a ghost. Well, let me tell you something. There are spirits and they are true. Amen. But I tell you, the Holy Ghost can help you and I know how to detect. Young folk, get a hold of this. When we meet each other's spirit.
That's it.
That's what we meet.
That's so.
Oh, Brother Kimball, how you meet Brother Kimball's spirit?
Right.
Brother Kimball meets your spirit.
That's right.
When Jesus was dealing there with Peter, he told Peter, Peter was trying to stop him from going in, I think it was Jerusalem, he said, Peter, you don't even know what spirit you are. You do not even know what spirit you are. May God help us. Rebuke the devil. Now, you know, that's kind of thing there. We get to dealing with each other, and then the wrong spirit show up, we say, rebuke the devil. He called me a devil.
Right, right.
See? He's dealing with your spirit.
Right.
And we need to recognize if we show out, then we need to be put in our place. Yeah. Well, we get out the box, we need to get back in. I want to go to heaven, folks.
Amen.
Amen. And we are, like I say again, we're dealing in a spiritual battle. And I want to keep emphasizing this because many times I see too many folks are operating carnal. We're operating carnal.
Yeah.
And God wants to bless us spiritually.
Amen.
He wants us to cry unto Him, and He wants to pour out from heaven just everything we need. Somebody said, Lord, I need some patience. And we expect God to just open up heaven and say, here it is, get a bundle of it. He's going to send them aggravating people that you don't like.
Yeah.
Amen. Them souls that you wish would leave the congregation. You know what I'm talking about. To aggravate you and I. I'm going to say it again. Aggravate us. Prick us in the sides. Thorns in the flesh. We're dealing with spirits. Read on, please. Father, weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We read this scripture over and over and over, but it seems like it's hard to really comprehend it. It seems like when you and I sit down to read these very scriptures, it looks like it ought to just really bring our minds in and dealing with us in such a way that, Lord, I really want to get a hold of God. I got a book at home that was given to me, Sermons by the Devil. And that's quite a book. It got sermons to a businessman, sermons to just whoever else, school teachers and whatever. And be surprised. Some of the congregations in this book that it shows, and they got those that just hear the word and will not do anything about it, and I get in this part of the book, it got turtles. And they show all of these turtles after the preacher and got through preaching, they didn't turn around and just put their head down on the seat and showed him their back. I'm just hard. I'm not going to even accept what you're saying. Spirits. Spirits are like that. And spirits are another thing. As long as they're laying dormant, you know, you don't stir them up, they won't bother you. They just lay there. You ever stood for something and you know the Word of God dealt with you to stand on it, but as long as you didn't deal with it, you was all right. You can stand all you want. But as long as you don't come around here talking that kind of stuff, but the minute you go to preaching it and living it, then that spirit wakes up. And that's where the problem comes. Then you got the problem. Now you're dealing with the spirit.
Right.
It can be in my wife. It can be in my children. It can be in my husband.
That's right.
See? When you begin to stand for what's right and begin to stand right on it, I'm going to trust the Lord for my healing. long as you don't want to trust God, you're all right. Those old spirits are laying dormant. But you go to trusting God for your healing, and you stir up the judge. The judge gets stirred up. He wants to come down. Never seen you before. Don't even know who you are. And he wants to tell you, I'll put you in jail if you try to trust God. They're all right as long as we don't stir them up. But we need to face the facts of the reality of life that if we're going to live for God, then we're going to do battle for God. We need to get in our mind and get it real down deep that this is what we're going to do. That's why I'm here. I used to hear it say years ago, well before I was saved, preachers had it made. They get a chance to see the countryside, eat good, enjoy a nice car riding around. Say, preachers live good. Preachers got it made. I said it a few times myself. Well, them preachers sure got it made. Well, I got saved. Little did I know what a preacher had to go through. Maybe you don't like cheese and crackers. Or bologna. Had some young people following us one year out to California. We fed them so much bologna. He told me the other day when I saw him, he said, I don't want nothing to do with no more bologna. Nothing to do with it. But I'm finding out, folks, in living for the Lord, the Lord's going to call us to do some things that normally we wouldn't choose to do. And while he calls us to do it, and when he calls us to do it, you and I are going to have to be in a place to get a hold of the Lord. Lord, I see this Spirit working. How to work with it. How to deal with it.
Yeah,
the mind is really simple. I can't even start to think about how God got that thing. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows it works too.
Uh-huh.
And that's where our battleground is. In our minds. The things that we have to face. I like the writer over there when he said, following Elijah around and keeping his eyes on him, and he wanting to know, what do you want from me? Double portion of your spirit. Solomon was asked, what do you wish? What is your wish? What is ours? We come in and we gather together and we said, I want to hear from heaven. But I believe if Lord would just bless us like he want to bless us, I don't know if we could take it. He'd probably be falling out like flies. Woo, who is this? It's God. And those that are seeking a wife are still seeking. Those that sight sin are still sight sin. But still, there's some that needs real help. Then what do we do with that? It bothers me when somebody said, I come to the altar and I still didn't get it. We were dealing with a case one time, and here we were dealing with this case, and they came to the altar, and I said to the individual, I said, what is it that you want God to do for you? That's the kind of way that I don't know how some of the other brethren do it, but that's the kind of way that an individual will come down to the altar. That's one of the things I ask is, what do you wish the Lord to do for you? And they said to us, they said, well, I'm not telling you. Well, we tried it again. I'm not telling you. I said, well, Brother Hurston said it will make it much easier for us if you would, you know, begin to talk and open up. I'm still not telling. But we labored with that thing for a good half hour or better. And finally the Lord began to reveal. Folks, we're dealing with spirits.
Yeah.
And this is not a light thing. This is not nothing that we can just, we gather in the Monarch, and what's your report when you get back? Woo! We had a good time. I saw folks that I hadn't seen in years. See, what is our report? When do I go back? What do I talk about? And then you see many of the young folks, many times when the ministers are dealing with a case, everybody want to see, I want to see the Spirit come out. They're around looking and right in the way. But if God will open our eyes and help us to see what we really are dealing with, we won't be so eager to try to see Him. I want to see what's going to happen. You think those 2,000 spirits was lost in the swine? Oh, I don't. I think they're still roaming around. And guess what? I think they brought some of their friends with them. The Scripture says something about it. If I paraphrase it here, when a man lived for God and he began to live for the Lord and he don't get the Holy Ghost within his life, the devil said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to my house from whence I come out.
Right.
He's coming in.
Right.
Now you think he's coming alone? He's bringing seven more.
Right.
And I often thought like this. Well, if he brought seven of his friends, what about their friends? You ever thought about it like that? He bringing seven of his friends. Well, I'm sure they got some more. And they dwell there. See, that's what happened. They dwell there. You see a lot of folks, they come up, they want to get saved. All right, they get saved, but that's just about as far as they want to go. That's far as they want to go. They don't go on to get sanctified. And sometimes, I don't know, it seems like you begin to deal with people along the line of sanctification and they don't seem to understand it. It seems like, I don't know, I don't have the right understanding to it. I'm thinking the Holy Ghost is supposed to do this. Brother, the Holy Ghost is going to give you power. For you, you're going to have to do something in that too. Amen. Lots of times, folks feel like the Holy Ghost didn't put themselves in a place to be tempted and work with, and then they want the Holy Ghost to come in and take over the fight. Spirit. We urge and we instruct people, get a hold of God. Get a hold. Are you satisfied where you are? Get a hold of God. And it seems like we are going just so far. And I don't want to go any farther. That's it. I don't want to go any farther. Just leave me alone now and let me. I'm going to tell you something. That's not far enough. That's not far enough. You and I need to get so close to the Lord that we can have that protecting hand. And when it comes down to trusting God for everything, for the whole works of it, we won't have any problems. You don't have to come to me and ask me, well, what do you want to do?
Yes.
Do you want to go? I don't even need you to even ask me that.
Yes.
Shut the door to anybody who feel that way.
Amen.
Amen. Brother down our way said, you know, if some folk got away are looking at you when you come look at you. Ooh, you look terrible. I got a hold of that just before Brother Herschel passed me. I guess he kind of chuckled at me when I said it. Brother Fuller was on the phone. Brother Fuller, he didn't want to ask out. And I was just talking. I guess I wasn't thinking. And I was sitting up in his chair and he was there. So Brother Fuller said, how's Brother Herschel doing? I said, he looks bad. And he looked at me. He said, get out of here. May God help us.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of pictures that we have in our minds. When it comes down to trusting God, we come and we hear the preachers preach. We hear the brethren got cancers. We hear this going on and that's happening. And we're sitting back and saying, oh, not many. Please, Lord, not many. But which would be the first to step up and say, me, Lord, I'll take the cancer this week. I'll take that disease over there and give them a rest, Lord. Prefer my brother comes in here. You sure prefer him to have it, wouldn't you? Than me?
Not me, Lord. And my plans and my mind, all of my life, I don't want to go through life with no aches and pains, hardly just a little arthritis, rheumatism, whatever you call that thing, when I get a little older. Not right now. I'm too young. Don't want any of that. But yet, their son is doing battle for God. Lord Jesus, if this is going to make the cause of God be magnified and God will be the glory, praise God, let it be. You know something? We're going to have to deal with God to have this kind of mind. We're going to have to really touch bases with God to have this kind of mind. Which one of us like to suffer? I don't see any hand. But Lord, if it's going to glorify you, if it's going to bless you, and then all of the spirits around, when you choose to go God's way, they get stirred up. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Lord, if we can get a hold of that. If we can get a hold of this, it would help us to really dig deep in our own experience. And sometimes, may God help us. You pray for me because I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me to dig deeper in the things that you're permitting to come my way. I want those things to help condition me, to help strengthen me right in the things of God. Read on.
But mighty through God,
to the pulling down of strongholds.
Casting down imaginations.
I tell you. You know something? We're going to have to really get a hold of God to get our mind clear. When you go to pray, you have a clear mind? I don't know about you, but when I go to pray, I got to pray to pray. I have to fight all of this. What all happened today and all this. I was sitting right in the middle of service gassing the Lord for a message one day, and it seemed like the Lord right where I got right up to the time of the message, and here I am sitting in the congregation and praying and asking the Lord to bless me. What do you think the devil brought to my mind? I left a piece of steel untied on the job. You think we're not dealing with spirits? You got to fight the devil. The brother talked about husband, love your wife this morning. I appreciate that. I get quiet when you go to talking like that. I want to learn some more. See? But do you know it's going to take sisters as well as brethren to do one of the things that he was talking about here, and that's submitting ourselves one to another? Seems like that's very hard. Oh, I can submit. Can you? You think about it. Why are you still kicking? Many times we're still kicking, and we're saying, I'm submitted. Ooh, glory, brother. Thank the Lord for that message. It got me. Ooh, I'm submitted. And still kicking. How long you been kicking? 15 years? Ought to be kicked out. But listen, folks, may God help us. If we can get a hold of that, we read the scripture. But many times I wonder, do we really get a hold of it? Because it's an actual thing. When I get it part of me down in my soul, it's going to act out. It's going to work. God's word works, folks. It's going to work in us. It's going to condition us. Casting down imagination. That's quite a thought. That little, whatever that thing is, we call it mind, conscious, whatever. But I'm thankful for what the scripture says, he keepeth him in perfect peace, whose mind, notice what he said now, stayed. What are you going to have to do to keep that? What are we going to have to do to keep that? Many times I see, and I tell the young people at home, they even leave their Bibles at the chapel so they won't forget them. Can you get all of that? I see young folks, may God help us, and some of them middle-aged. What we'll do here, we'll leave a Bible at church. Just leave it right there. Where's your Bible? Oh, it's at church. Well, I didn't want to forget it, you know. Huh? You're forgetting your word? Your life? It seems like one of the first things when I'm traveling, that's the first thing I grab before I grab a shirt. I set it up front so I won't forget this. Now, I know many times I forgot a Bible, haven't you?
Yeah.
Sure. Embarrassing, isn't it? I know it is. lose your Bible.
Something that we need to cherish.
We leave.
And we're talking about doing battle.
No training. No real basic training from God. And I want to go to the fight. I want to go to do battle. I want to see what you brethren are getting into.
When we deal with the missionaries, sometimes the brethren say, well, don't tell them all the bad things. You ain't gonna go. And that's right what I want to tell you.
Yeah.
All of the rough things.
Yeah.
See? Then I want to see the expression when I go to telling you. We eating lizard. We eating this. Well, that's not for me, brother. That's not for me. I'll be praying for you. Oh, may God help us.
We're talking about doing battle for our God. We're talking about doing battle for God. And then we see different ones there quit jobs and leave homes and getting ready to go for God.
Oh, God help us. We need more of that.
Amen. Give me the amen on that. Come on, let's amen.
We need more of that. I told somebody, I said, I love my wife too. My children. I love to be at home sometime with them.
But you know, when the Lord began to call and he began to deal, his heart stayed there. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I never stood in God's way. I'm not about to. You better go in and do what God tells you. Spirits.
Yeah.
Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Got a lot of things coming against us, isn't it?
A lot of things are coming against us, and many times we get to a place we don't know what to do with it. Many times we don't know how to really handle it. There are things arise, even in the home, that we have to really go and pray about. Lord, I don't know how to handle this thing. It's something new here. And I need your help.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know we're not going to get it playing around. You know we're not going to get it. And somebody say, well, just leave that spirit alone. And you see where we are now? Just leave that spirit alone. Don't mess with that spirit. If you don't stir it up, it won't get stirred.
And that spirit just laying around. And here come another. And then, after a period of time, we've left so many alone.
And then when we try to deal with it, then here we got a bunch of spirits that we didn't do nothing with before. See, a bunch of spirits on hand. Now, here they are. Here they are. Where they come from? They've been there. Amen. Lord help us. I remember, and somebody said to me, and I often thought about that. I thought about it. It said, years ago, and I was reading, and they told me that years ago, it said, when somebody got up to the pulpit out of place, said, you hear one of them old brothers have spirit of discernment, said, sit down. Said, sit down. But you know what we got today? Did you hear what he told him? He embarrassed that young fellow. And we sympathize with spirit. Oh, Lord, help us. We sympathize with it. For you poor thing.
Somebody said to me, and you've heard me say it before and I say it again, they get in a pitiful condition, husband and left them. I got four or five children. And here this fellow around the corner, Brother So-and-so, he's been good to me. And now, oh, if I had a husband like Brother So-and-so.
Then the preacher come along.
Brother, you see my condition. What do you think?
I said, then the preacher come along after this saddened condition and husband had left the
wife, and there they got four or five children, and nobody seemed like to help them. And here this young brother around the corner, he's trying to help out all he can. And you know, the devil can really deal with our spirit and our mind then. Oh, if I had somebody like him. Then the preacher come along. You want the preacher to give you the approval. Is it all right, brother, you think? Would you go and pray about it? I don't have to pray about that. The answer is no. Amen. You can't have nobody as long as he's living. Amen. But we won't, you know, those little spirits, just don't mess with that spirit. Leave that one alone. We have a lot of things that we're going to have to deal with. And you know, when we begin to calling out these spirits and dealing with them, no doubt we'll come out in better shape. Because at least I know that spirit and how to deal with it. Amen. I'm geared up now to deal with this. Help me get armed up for the next one. Maybe I can't see. Maybe I just got saved and I don't have the Holy Ghost to help me see like I ought to. And you coming along and helping me out and help pinpoint some of them spirits. Now I can gear myself up for them. But you know what it's going to take in our behalf? It's going to take us casting down every imagination and every high thing. Everything that can cause me to exalt myself against God's knowledge. You know, we're getting this time here now. Our children, you begin to talk with your children now, begin to explain to them the Word of God, and they want to challenge it.
Yeah.
They actually want to challenge the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe it's all together like that. You just got here. And if people have been living this thing way before you, you don't believe it's like that. Can you see what challenges we have today?
Yeah.
Our young folks right now, our children, challenges us at home more than anything else ever happened. And I'm sure you have the same job.
Yeah.
Notice what the next part of this says. And bringing into captivity. You mean to tell me it's not going to be spiritual? We have to be spiritual to deal with this. We're going to have to be. We're going to have to be. May God help you and I. We're going to have to get in a place where you and I can touch bases with God in order to bring ourselves in a place, bring our minds into subjection to the Word of God. Even if I don't see it, may God help me to follow the instruction. We got many folks. I got to see it before I believe it.
Yes.
Old doubt and talk.
Yes.
I want to see it. It's going to take God to bring into captivity every thought. Some of them thoughts that you think you're right. You know how that is. You feel you're right about something. It's going to take God to really bring my mind into subjection to the Word of God and to God dealing with my soul, whether I see it or not. And we're living in a time now, I don't know, I'm going to call it an old, just an I don't understand age. That's one of the quickest things we fall back on when you and I have got ourselves against the wall and can't go any farther. And then I don't understand. I guess we don't. May God help you and I to bring into captivity every thought. That's real deep. I don't know. I'm just touching the surface of it. I tell you, that's some deep thought there. That you and I, it's going to take more than just talking about bringing into captivity every thought. A lot of things run through this little old head here. A lot of things that I have settled on, and this is the way I'm going to do it, my own way of doing things. And then I have to give this up. And this is why one of the reasons why we have to preach so more about turning loose the world. Seemed like it ought to be an easy thing now. I tried to live in the world, live in sin, and couldn't make it. Now I'm going for God. I got to recognize, I ought to be able to recognize, I can't bring this stuff with me. But we have to preach it and teach it and keep talking about it and keep emphasizing on it. Leave the world go. But why it don't get over? See?
Something that I build on. Something that I've grabbed a hold to. Something I have taken into my bosom. And that thing begins to grow. It's like it's not easy to turn loose. It's not easy to cut the cord that got us bound, see? But you ever notice somebody you've been trying to get saved, and then all of a sudden you get saved and say, "Whoa, you should have told me this a long time ago. What do you think we've been trying to do?" And I found out, the little time the Lord's been having me to work with some folks at home, you can teach and you can preach over a period of time, and it may take 3 years. Two people sitting on the same bench, and it takes 3 years for one to get it. And then 6 weeks later, they'll jump up and holler, "Woo! I never saw this before, but I got it now." We're dealing with spirits. If we can actually see when the word is going forth, if we can actually see the spirits that's trying to catch that word before it gets to you. It's reaching out, trying to catch it before it gets to you. And then if you're sitting there in your mind, you're wondering, "Well, should I go to the altar now?" You can forget it almost. Because why are you thinking about, "Should I go?" He already slapped that clean out the other side of your head. Wait till you get home. "Oh, yeah, that's good." So then you sit back and get comfortable. Still got the problem, and it's worse when you get home. Because that same problem that you thought you can get rid of yourself, you needed hands laid on you. Now you're going back home with another spirit.
That's right.
Can you see? Oh, may God help us. If the Lord can let us just see, Lord, open our eyes that we can actually see these spirits, how they are operating. Preacher get up and preach, he got a battle because he got several spirits trying to stop the word, and he's trying to preach and go through, and then there's several other devils out there. He said, "Look, Lord help us. Lord help us." Now that's quite an ordeal to think in your mind. Here you're going out on the battlefield with a brother, and here's a grenade come in the midst, and you just throw your body over to protect the rest. It's really going to take love, isn't it? Well, where are we? Lord, help me! We're in a battle. We didn't come here to stay. We're dealing with spirits. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, let me get back to the thought of 22,000 folks went home. Still, they had too many. You know, the Lord wanted to show them something that He could deliver with a few folks. And I'm thankful for this gospel today. That whether whoever going every way, there's still somebody is going to stand for God. Oh, thank the Lord. That's how it come down to you and I. Folks gave their life for this thing, bringing it right down to you and I. And we don't want to take it too light.
Amen.
We come here to this great big battlefield.
Amen.
I want to say to the sightseers, next time you take a vacation, take you a few extra days so after the meeting you can see everything you want. I want to say to you that are looking for a wife, and then you know, right in the meeting, I've been in here times past where the little sister get up and she said, "I'm all alone and I don't have anybody." Well, she getting a message across. Amen. That's right. You all alone, you don't have anybody. What you telling me? Amen. And the brother sitting back there, "Got that. Got that." See? I want to advise you this way. And I realize and I know that it's not every day you're going to look to see your husband. No doubt you're looking. But I want to advise you to pray and get a hold of God. And when we come together in such an occasion as this, it's to do battle for God. We need prayer warriors. The singer's going to be there. They're going to be prayed up. And you know what I like to see? I like to see when the song, the special song, connects right with the message. The minister prayed the message down and you prayed the song down. Oh, I know it's a lot of songs you love to hear.
And we say, would you sing that? Yeah, would you sing that? But how many times we hear, would you preach that message again, though? That you preached over there? The one that stirred up everybody. Would you preach that again for us? No, we don't tell the preacher. We don't ask the preacher to preach a message again. But I like that song. Oh, such a lovely song. May God help us, folks. We're dealing with spirits. And we can get in a place where we just like to be serenaded. But we're on a battlefield to do business for God. The singer's going to be there. You don't have to worry about that. God and dealt with them over there. They're going to be there. And I like to see more of the young people. You know, the older the ministers gets, it's harder for them to see. You know what I'm talking about. And then when you get up here with a little dim light, you can't hardly see, and you're trying to figure out what you're reading. I like to see the young folks have their Bibles laid open. I'm looking for scripture. I got that one, brother, for you. Here it is. I'm looking for scripture in Philippians. I got that one, brother. But you hardly see us with our Bible. I just believe maybe we just come. We're in camp meeting, so we don't need a Bible. I trust everything the brother's saying. And we don't need our Bible. But I don't do it. I believe he's going to tell me the truth, but I'm not doing it. Huh? You know what happens many times when you get to reading for the preacher? You run across some thoughts in scripture that you never read before. And you begin to read for the minister, and he appreciates having you reading. And you begin, hey, I never... And you're trying to mark it, and he's trying to tell you to read on, and you're trying to get that so you can come back to it. But normally you wouldn't have went over there and got that yourself.
That's right.
God bless you with a little piece of the property that he gave the minister.
Yes.
A landmark he gave him, you pass through and you got a blessing.
Yes.
And you mark it down.
Yes.
And when you get in a hot battle, you can turn back and look at that very scripture and say, praise God, I knew where I got this.
Amen.
I was talking to the young brother and I said, you don't win a Grammy Award preaching the truth. I said, many times we read the scripture about John the Baptist. And the scripture said his meat was locusts and wild honey. And we never thought about that much. But John probably desired to go down and eat a piece of steak or whatever it is eating too. But because he preaching the truth and calling folks generations of vipers, he couldn't go down and eat like the rest of the folks. Bless me, Lord, happens. He lost his head because he went over there and told this lady she had her brother's wife. He lost his head. We don't deal with that much. We don't deal with the thought, why was John eating locusts and wild honey? He desired to eat just like everybody else, no doubt. But you don't win a Grammy Award preaching the truth, folks. It might come to eating lizard and locusts or whatever it have to eat to tell the truth.
It's
something about folks, I don't understand. Maybe you can help me here. But it's something about people when you're telling them what they don't want to hear. They disagree with you. That's why I like to read it out of the Bible. Even though the preacher take the blow, God had it put in there, and he still got to take the blow for it. I don't like that preacher. He never got nothing good to say. I think I'll join me another congregation. I'm going over here. And word ought to beat you over there saying he ain't settled up here. Send him back. Amen. But sometimes we'll sympathize with that spirit and say, you poor baby. They don't know how to handle you. What you need is a mother. And that thing gets a swelling and growing and growing. And the next thing you know, here half the congregation is gone and you don't know where they went. We're dealing with spirit. And we need to see it and deal with it. Amen. Well, 22,000 folks were scared. But he ended up with 300. 300. And before he got down to the 300, I got a thought out of that. And when they went to lapping water like a dog, just put their whole head in it. I said, we're going to have to watch and pray. We're going to have to watch and pray. A lot of folks are praying and not watching. Some are watching and not praying. But the scripture says, watch and pray. Well,
I don't know what you think about this thought this afternoon. I know it's a sleepy time. And we'll go to sleep. Nice cool breeze blowing. But I want us to think. This meeting is beginning.
Yeah.
And God has something He wants to do for us. Yeah. And I want to urge every one of us that are here today under the sound of our voice. Whatever your problem is, whatever you come for, whatever condition you came to get help for, I want to urge you to get it. And I'll say this, you need to gird up the loins of your mind, because you're going to have to press through those spirits to get your help. And I say this, after this meeting is ended, I don't believe a one of us need to go home without having, if it's salvation. If you say, well, they've been dealing with me and I just come because, you know, just to see what was happening, I trust the Lord that because you come just to see what's going on, you go back different. You go back with a changed heart and a new spirit. May the Lord bless us. I say again, I trust this little thought would get us on the mind of, why are we here? What do we come for? What is my purpose? No doubt as folks come from all parts of the country this year. Long rides. Half eating. Fasting. Praying. You know that's too serious for me to be too light. That's too serious. Why are we here? You break them up. Thank you.